I am also thinking about this question of diversity and pluralism from more of a philosophy of science kind of perspective. This has been something that I've been playing with for a while. It was in my last book, was it all about epistemic diversity within broad conceptions of science and social science in particular. What I want to do today is I want to talk a little bit, if I had to give my contribution a title, I would call it Fear of Relativism. What I want to do today is I want to spend a few minutes systematically dismantling an argument that is often thrown up as to why one should limit or bound or even reject pluralism when it comes to thinking about knowledge of international politics or world politics in general, because of the fear of relativism if one takes away strict standards from things. So what do I mean by fear of relativism? Well, I think this is the suspicion that contradictory statements could be simultaneously true. People who raise the specter of relativism seem to be worried about this idea, that somehow it could both be the case that objects fall to the ground when dropped, or that objects float up and away when dropped, that multipolarity generates more conflict than bipolarity, and that bipolarity generates more conflict than multipolarity. Or, to put it in terms that often show up within U.S., I use this word loosely, debates. They're usually not debates about these questions. They're usually, what's the word I'm looking for here? Insult fests, ad hominem criticisms, lots of red herrings and straw men all over the place. But what usually comes up in these sorts of conversations is that somebody, usually whoever it is who's defending the narrow view or a particular narrow, rigorous view of what proper scientific methodology is, will say something like, if we don't have good strict standards, then phrenology and astrology could be legitimate sciences. Rah. And you don't want to be defending astrology, do you now? Great argumentative strip. Good piece of rhetoric, not so much with the philosophically legitimate argument. And that's an argument that one sees all the time with these sorts of discussions. And I think that this argument is completely ludicrous and very, very bogus. I think relativism, in fact, of the sort that is feared in this, is a false problem. And the reason why this kind of relativism is a false problem is because it presumes that contradictory statements are often in evidence in our claims, and that contradictions are always as profound as they initially appear when people articulate them. I think this is actually quite silly. Actual contradiction is very, very rare. And this is why philosophers of science, going all the way back to some of Popper's students, were spending so much time trying to figure out how you make different kinds of worldly claims actually contradict each other so that you could evaluate them against each other. If contradiction was as prevalent and as obvious as the people who fear relativism claim that it is, there would be no need for any of Lakatos's fairly elaborate ways of talking about hard cores of theories and so on and so forth. There would even be no need for most of Popper's own way of thinking about falsification, because it would just be bloody obvious. There'd be a claim and another claim, and you just throw some evidence at it, and there you have it. Popper wouldn't need to write hundreds of pages on the logic of scientific discovery if it were actually that easy. It's not, right? Contradiction is a very, very rare thing. And most philosophers of science will point out that what most practicing scientists do, if they are interested in resolving contradictory claims, is they spend most of their time actually trying to make the claims properly contradict each other in the first place, which would suggest that maybe the people who fear relativism are perhaps barking up the wrong tree. So, how do we think about this? How should we think about this? Let me suggest to you that we need to think about this first by remembering what it is that we do when we are engaged in any kind of scientific, broadly understood account of anything, and in this case, particular world politics. And as I've argued on previous occasions, I think the broad understanding of science, the only really defensible broad understanding of science that actually has support within the philosophical literature, is the idea that science is a body of systematic or rigorous claims about the world that are subject to a measure of public criticism designed to improve those claims. There's three components: systematicity, internal consistency, some notion of public criticism, and some notion of being in some sense about the world, which means statements about God, not so much. So those kinds of claims, right, are the things I think broadly bound science. Now, if we have that, then what is this activity of science within those three actually all about? Science is about producing what John Dewey referred to as warranted assertions, which is to say claims that are supported by a judicious and defensible combination of theory and evidence. Right? That's what science is about, ultimately. It's about producing warranted assertions. The precise character of what it means to warrant an assertion is going to vary across different kinds of theories and methodologies, but the basic goal of producing warranted assertions remains constant across any kind of endeavor that would think of itself as being, in some sense, a science. So suppose we have two warranted claims that appear to contradict each other. What could possibly be the case here? Well, I think there's three different instances we need to sort of explore. Number one, the instance where apparent contradiction is actually the use of different terms for the same thing. So we have different uses of verbal signs, conventional verbal signs, like up or down. And if I say up and mean what you mean when you say down, then if I say objects fall up and you say objects fall down, we've actually just said the same thing. Hence, no contradiction. So there's no problem. All right. A lot of apparent contradictions, I think, have to simply do with different conventional signs being used in different ways. So proper translation dissolves a number of these things. Second, and with the example I mentioned before about bipolarity and multipolarity, when you push on this, I think a lot of it turns on the ambiguous use of a word like more. What is more? How much is more? How much more matters? This is not actually a logical issue of contradiction. This is an issue about semantics. This is an issue about how we use different signs. And that dissolves the apparent contradiction. So, second kind of case. So we don't actually have people saying the same thing using different signs. We have something else. Instead, we have a situation that is produced where it looks like a contradiction only because a claim has been mistranslated into a different set of methodological standards that it was not originally engaged in. This is genre confusion or methodology conflation, the sort of thing that happens when one goes into reading a work of science fiction and assumes that it is a work of historical romance and gets really confused on about page 20. Says, what the heck is going on here? I think that's a mistranslation, a misreading of what's actually happening. I think a lot of this actually happens within IR. I think this is especially prevalent within IR because Anglophone IR is still dominated, methodologically speaking, by neopositivism, which I would broadly define as hypothesis testing with intent to generate or refine nomothetic generalizations. Note that this is much broader than quant or stats or anything like that. It's about the activity of hypothesis testing and the goal of nomothetic generalization, not about the particular sort of symbols that one uses to get there. But non-neopositivist methodologies, of which there are many floating around in IR globally understood, don't make claims about such things as law-like generalizations. So any apparent contradiction between a warranted statement that came out of a neopositivist methodology and a warranted statement that comes out of a non-neopositivist methodology, they are likely not to actually be contradicting each other, but to instead be describing different kinds of aspects of similar phenomena. And the contradiction that appears is the result of an inappropriate effort to shoehorn the non-neopositivist claim into a neopositivist box. Whether states have increased constant potential in bipolar and multipolar systems is more or less irrelevant to the truth of the claim that practices of sovereignty constitute state boundaries. These are just not talking about the same thing. They are talking about different aspects. They are not contradicting one another. Properly understood, there is no contradiction between two things that are not actually incompatible like this. And here I would invoke Nietzsche's famous claim that our objectivity is increased the more eyes we have looking at a thing. There's no contradiction here. Then there's the third case, which is the case of an actual contradiction. If you get a reliable translation, you're making a claim that is warranted in your standards, I'm making a claim that is warranted in my standards, and I can translate your claim into mine. So we actually have something like a good enough translation. But at that point, and we have two claims that actually contradict each other, then it's very easy to test and see which one of the claims is true, or whether or not we need to expand our theoretical understanding to somehow encompass both. My favorite somewhat potted example of this from physics is the famous controversy at the beginning of the last century, light is a wave, light is a particle. The answer, of course, was not that light is a wave or a particle. The article was, we have to radically revise our theory of matter and energy so that we can actually understand that light is neither a wave nor a particle, but has wave-like and particle-like qualities that can be induced in particular experimental settings. And sometimes it's helpful to treat it as a wave, and sometimes it's helpful to treat it as a particle, until Dirac comes along and formalizes the whole question away with a whole new algebra. Which is a long way of saying that in that case, there's no problem with contradiction either. It is not the case that the two contradictory claims are simultaneously true. It is the case that two things that look to be contradictory provoked a broader theoretical understanding of the world, which dissolved the apparent contradiction. So, what's my point? In all three of these cases, what appeared to be a damning contradiction, two different things that were simultaneously true but opposed to one another, turn out, after a little bit of judicious logical analysis, not to actually be a problem. This mythical case of different methodologies supporting contradictory claims, so that somehow astronomy could be true over here and astrology could be true over there, simply doesn't happen. It is a phantasm. It is a myth. It is invented by people who are very, very concerned that relaxing standards will open the door to chaos and disorder. I would suggest that such people need to actually open the door, realize that the air is actually quite nice outside, and perhaps, if we actually come out of those particular fear-laden boxes, we might actually learn something from each other.
Thank you, Pastor.